The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, y'all. I'm Bud Elliott, and this is Cover 3 College Football Summer School. We've done our research on the teams, and now we're bringing on the top team experts from the 24/7 Sports Network to help us fill in the blanks. Please follow us on Twitter at Cover 3 Podcast. That's Cover 3 Podcast. And leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. All right, class is in session. Hey guys, welcome back in to another edition of the Bud Elliott Summer School College Football Series on the Cover 3 Podcast. And today, we're talking a little Arkansas, and I'm really pleased to be joined by Trey Biddy of Hog Sports. Nobody covers Arkansas better than Trey Biddy. And look at that background, man. Just looking sharp. Welcome, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt about it. Last year, another really nice year for the Hogs. 9-4 power ratings pretty much agreed with that. You know, almost all the metrics out there had them as a top 25 level football team. Sam Pittman in year two continues to run the program, seems to have everything headed in the right direction. Recruiting's looking up. Kept the coordinators, which I know was something in the offseason that they were fighting to do, and managed to do that. Mood in Arkansas has got to be pretty good right now, right?
Yeah, I think it is, and I think you're able to appreciate how things are right now, given what they were going through in recent history and stuff like that. So things seem to be shaping up pretty well. As you mentioned, both coordinators and special teams coordinator, all three of those guys back for their third year at Arkansas, so you got some continuity there. That's always important. And really, when I think you look at this team and what Pittman has built and put together, it's a big team. They got a lot of speed, and they got a lot of veterans back, four starters on the offensive line, not just – returning starters, but guys who are entering their third year as starters, guys who are entering their fourth year as starters. So we got one spot to fill at that area. And of course, KJ Jefferson coming back is really big for this program. This is crazy. Kendall Browse has been an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for 7 years. This is the first time to have a returning starter back at quarterback.
Wow. I've never really thought about that. He's just always been so good with the new guy, even going back to when he was at Baylor and they played UNC in that bowl game. They didn't have any quarterbacks. They just ran a receiver out there and ran for like 450 on the Tar Heels, if I recall. Last year, their efficiency numbers throwing the football were great, but they still seemed to prefer to run it a lot more, I assume, because they had KJ in the offensive line, you know, could mash guys. How much of that do you think stays, and do you think, I'm not saying they need to open it up. I'm just kind of curious if you think they will open it up and chuck it around more, given that when they did throw it last year, the results were really good.
Yeah. Well, you lose Treylon Burks, obviously, who's one of the top wide receivers in the country, probably going to be a first-round draft pick this week. And so that's tough. You got to figure out a way to replace him. But getting KJ back, getting those offensive line back, I think you're probably going to see a guy that improves as a passer from year one to year two, although he had really the second best efficiency rating in Arkansas history next to Brandon Allen. So when you put it in that perspective, he did a pretty good job throwing the ball. But yeah, I think if you look back at the history of Kendall Browse's offense, like when they've been really, really good, they're always like you know, top five, even number one, 1 year in rushing yards per game in the country. And, you know, still top 25 in passing. That's kind of seems to be the niche for Kendall Briles' offense. So I would expect them to still try to run the ball. When you look at who's coming back, you got Dominic Johnson back, who was probably their best running back, by the end of last year, let him in touchdown, in touchdowns, let him in yards per carry average. He's a bigger back. You also got Rocket Sanders, who's also a big back, who's got some speed. AJ Green's coming back. They like Rashad DeBinion out of the freshman class, who was an early enrollee. Plus, you got KJ back, who ran for over 600 yards. Probably the second best rushing quarterback Arkansas has ever had, next to Matt Jones, at least during that time period. So you get a lot back in that regard, plus that offensive line returning. And, you know, Pittman prides himself on being blue collar. That's kind of the theme around Arkansas. And I always said, you know, he had some players coming back, you know, from the Chad Morris era. Everybody looked at it as this huge rebuild. The problem with Chad Morris era is they didn't fight. They didn't compete. You know, we can talk about losing SEC games. Sure, that's difficult to do, beat an SEC team. But losing at home to Western Kentucky, losing at home to Colorado, well, losing on the road to Colorado State, losing at home to San Jose State, losing at home to North Texas, those things are inexcusable. And that goes back to the culture and the coaching, and that was the biggest thing, and the toughness. Toughness has been a word that Pittman has thrown around. He's not like a cliche guy, but that's been a big word that he's thrown around, is toughness, blue collar, wearing that chip on your shoulder. Those are the kinds of things that Arkansas football is about right now. They've really embraced it under him.
I think that's a great point, Trey, because I actually liked some of Arkansas's evaluations under Chad Morris as far as of recruits, but they certainly didn't translate to wins when Morris was there. In addition to losing Burks, and obviously, I mean, he's a stud, two of the other top three receivers, you know, based off total targets last year, also depart. They bring in Hazelwood. What are sort of the early returns there with Hazelwood, and who else do you think will step up specifically at the receiver position?
Well, Hazelwood's had a green no-contact jersey, so he's been a little – he went down with a shoulder early in spring. So, but I do think that he's going to end up starting for him, probably also in the slot, just like Treylon Burks did last year. A little bit different type of receiver than Burks, but a guy that's really talented. We're seeing that early. Also look for Ketron Jackson to possibly have a breakout year. He was the top-rated recruit in the class of 2021, so look for him. Warren Thompson's a guy that has really big playability, and we saw him catch several deep balls last year. But I also remember the UAPB game where he dropped three easy passes in a row. So that's something that he's got to get better at, is catching the easy pass.
Consistency, man.
Yeah. Right. Not just when the athletic mindset kicks in and you go make a great play, the consistency of it. They've got some other guys on the team. Isaiah Satania, I think, is a guy to watch, freshman who hasn't enrolled yet. He's a top-rated recruit in this past class. And, you know, Trey Knox at tight end, he's a guy that's a senior. He's 6'5", 240 right now, probably going to try to get up to about 250, a converted wide receiver, former four-star recruit. A guy that's played a lot of ball for him, so I would watch for him also. And, you know, Rocket Sanders is a converted wide receiver playing running back, and, you know, he's another guy that could catch passes for him. So, you know, there's some options there, I think, at wide receiver. There's a few other freshmen that could help him, but I would probably look for Ketron Jackson, Jaden Hazelwood, and Warren Thompson to be the primary guys. But also a key guy to watch out for is Malik Hornsby. Is the backup quarterback. He may be the fastest quarterback in the country. Like, he's that fast. And they have got to figure out a way to get him on the field. The problem is Arkansas is thin at quarterback. They have KJ Jefferson, they have Malik Hornsby, Lucas Coley transferred midway through the spring. So they're down to two scholarship quarterbacks. Got a couple other guys, Cade Fortin and Cade Renfro, who's coming back from an ACL, probably won't be back till August, who are walk-ons, who are former scholarship players at other Power 5 schools, okay, who have transferred in. Renfro was here last year. So they're a little bit thin. So a lot of it depends how much they put Malik Hornsby at wide receiver. How good do they feel about Cade Fortin or Cade Renfro? Because as we've seen, KJ runs the ball, and he's had to come out of the game a few times. He had to come out of the Penn State game basically the whole second half. Malik Hornsby never threw a pass, just ran the ball the whole time, and I think showed a lot of people his speed. So we saw Malik a decent bit at quarterback, but you're putting him at a higher risk for injury, putting him at wide receiver. So how do you feel about the other quarterbacks is going to be a big question, because Hornsby is a guy that I could see catching possibly 20 passes next year, and not just short dump offs, but, you know, beating people deep, because he is, I mean, I'm talking electric speed, and they've got to figure out a way to get it on the field.
That's there's so many fun pieces here. I mean, we Hornsby, as you mentioned, Knox, I saw Sanders a good bit down here in the state of Florida. I also saw Warren Thompson. That's why I agreed with you on the drops issue. Like, if he ever got that licked, look out. But you know, Sanders is a guy athletic enough and strong enough to heck play like nickel linebacker if you wanted him mm-hmm. to as well at some programs. So I'm really excited. I feel like if you give Kendall Browell some pieces, he's going to put up the points. And yet I feel like Arkansas is equally well coached on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. But to me, there's more questions here as far as guys who are gone on that side. If we can go there in the front seven, the top three defensive linemen, not necessarily in terms of talent, but you may agree with talent, but certainly in terms of snap count, are all gone. And then the top two linebackers, I believe, by snap count, are also gone. That's quite a bit for a team that likes to play a lot of nickel and dime. What level of drop off, if there's going to be a drop off, are you assuming here?
Well, you make some good points. I think it's interesting when you look at those three defensive linemen that started. Arkansas runs a 3-2-6, for those who don't know. But you look at those defensive linemen, they all were added post-spring out of the transfer portal last year. All three of them, two of the guys from Missouri, one of them kind of from Houston. I guess he transferred to Houston for a moment. And then John Ridgeway, who came up from Division II, probably going to be drafted this weekend. So they're still in the market for defensive linemen. They'd like to add two more, actually. Now, Isaiah Nichols has played a lot of games for him. Torian Carter has played a lot of games for him. They got a young guy in Cam Ball who's coming up. They've got some quality depth at defensive end. They've got Landon Jackson, who they got out of the transfer portal from LSU, 6'7", 275 pounds. Jordan Dominick also coming out of the transfer portal from Georgia Tech, a really good player there. So those guys are going to help. Plus, they have Zach Williams back. They have Eric Gregory back, who started a lot of games for them. Jashad Stewart, Eric Thomas. So defensive end spot, I think, looks pretty good. They could use another, like, massive – they get one big, massive guy inside. I really think this defense has a chance to be good because while they did lose their two starters at linebacker, the guy that was named All-SEC is Bumper Poole. They had a pretty steady rotation with those three guys. So Bumper Poole had 125 tackles and was all SEC last year. So he's back for his bonus senior season. They also got Drew Sanders out of the transfer portal who, I mean, they have some ridiculous depth at linebacker at Alabama. He started a few games for him, got injured, lost his starting spot. They've got some freaks at his position.
Trey, are they going to use him? Yeah. Sorry, I had a follow-up on Sanders, if I can stop you there. Are they going to use him more in a traditional backer role, or do they want to use him more as an edge guy? Because I always thought if you could line him up and run him off the edge, just that speed and ability to bend could be special as a pass rusher.
I think we're going to see both of that. I think we've seen some stuff they did in the spring. Sam Pittman's gracious enough to open up spring football to us. You know, when they're not preparing for an opponent, so he opens things up. So it's been fun to watch all these guys this spring. But Sanders, I think you'll see him sometimes lined up. If they'll use a third linebacker, we saw that a little bit. But also primarily, I think you're going to see him as one of the two inside guys in the 3-2-6. I think that was one of the things that was intriguing about Arkansas for him to come. He is 6'5", so he's a taller guy, obviously, 235, 240 pounds or so. Moves really well, especially laterally. That was some of the things that stood out. So, you know, you've got some help there. I also think Chris Ball, who's a redshirt freshman, can be a good help there. But you do lose some at linebacker. So there's a little bit of a concern there, a little bit of concern on the interior of the defensive line. Let's see what they do in the transfer portal. As I noted, they brought in all three starters last year out of the transfer portal post-spring. Now, the defensive secondary, I think, is in really good hands. They do lose Monteric Brown, who had 5 interceptions last year, was one of the top interception guys in the country. But they get Jalen Catalon back, who was injured really the second half of the season with a broken hand and a bad shoulder, tried to fight through it for a little while, had a really good start to the season. But this is a guy that did things in 2020 as a redshirt freshman that hadn't been done in the SEC since 2007 with at least 95 tackles, 3 interceptions. So he did, for a defensive back, he did some really impressive things as a freshman that year and was a freshman All-American. I think that he has a really bright future. They got Latavius Breeny out of the transfer portal, who started 12 games for Georgia last year at safety. He's going to play more of a safety type role versus nickelback. And they also got Dwight McLaughlin out of LSU in the transfer portal.
I like Dwight a lot, man. Like, yeah, I think I've seen him a good bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an instinctive dude, especially with as much zone as Arkansas plays. I feel like he used his length there, getting those passing lane, especially if you're, are they playing him at field or boundary? I don't know.
They don't flip. Yeah,
okay, they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you make him throw it over his head. He's got some nice length. He's a pretty smart kid too.
Yeah. And he likes to let people know about it too. That was one thing we saw. Yeah. He was not shy about letting everybody know that he was at Arkansas when he was out on the field. But they did some good work in the transfer portal. I mean, you talk about Landon Jackson it was a big time recruit coming out of high school. I think number 102 player in the country, something like that. Drew Sanders was the number 22 overall prospect in the country coming out of high school. Brini obviously was a re-ranked 4-star who started for Georgia, national champions for several games. And then Dwight McLaughlin, I think he started 6 games as a redshirt freshman for LSU last year. So, and another former 4-star. So they lost some pieces, but they got some mature pieces to what is overall a very mature team. That is something that really stands out to this bunch to me, is, you know, not just getting your quarterback back, all those offensive linemen, but just the whole scope of the team is very veteran and returns a lot. You know, Pittman's back for his 3rd year. All 3 coordinators are back for their 3rd year. It's a big team with a lot of speed. I have to say, like, when I first went out there, the first practice, I was like, wow, these guys have not missed a beat. When they, you know, from watching them in Outback Bowl practices to where they started out spring ball, it was just like they'd never stopped practicing. And I think that harkens back to a lot of the leadership veteran theme of the team.
I'm legitimately excited about our Arkansas this year. I guess the only real question I have is, you know, they do play a I wouldn't call it an extreme version of bend don't break, but they definitely are confident in their ability to get stops in the red zone. And it looks like one of their, just if you look at how they play so far under Pittman and his staff, like, they do not want to allow explosive scores. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a real emphasis. If you're going to play that way, you do need to get those stops down in the red zone. So making sure you have the big bodies on the inside to actually get stops when it gets down to, you know, headbanging time, mm-hmm. is it seems like the only real question that would cause them to backslide, right? Like, I feel like everything else is poised to, and obviously Traylon's a huge loss, but they could be better than last year. Maybe.
Yeah. I think there's a chance. I mean, you know, in addition to what you said, which are, you know, all factual concerns, the schedule is the schedule. It's the SEC West. But in addition, you've got Cincinnati coming to town the first game. You know, obviously they've got some, you know, key player, they lost their quarterback and such, but and they are coming to Fayetteville, but that's a team that was in the college football playoff last year. a game that gets glossed over, and I know it's an FCS team, they were in the playoffs, but it's Missouri State. And you know who the head coach of Missouri State is?
Bobby Petrino,
his first trip back to Fayetteville. So there is something about that game. You know, it's like all of them kind of have a theme. Hugh Freeze at Liberty coming back to Fayetteville. You know, Liberty obviously has had a lot of success and lose their quarterback too, but that's a program that's had a lot of success. BYU on the road right in the middle of the season during a tough stretch in the SEC. That's another tough one. So in addition to the regular gauntlet of the SEC. So it is a tough schedule, but you know, I do think that Arkansas has a better team than all those teams that I mentioned. That doesn't always mean you win, but I think they've got a better team. And I look at, you know, some turmoil at Auburn right now, you know, LSU with so much starting over. I really think, and people may think I'm crazy, but I really could possibly see 9-10 regular season wins for this team. I really could. And I also think you get the benefit of you get the good home schedule this year. There's like a bad year and a good year because Arkansas has to use a home game for the Texas A&M game every other year. So this year it's an away game. So that benefits them too with getting more home games in Fayetteville.
I have a hard time getting to 10, but I can see.
I saw your 7. I saw your 7 pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, like, if they get D-line short up, I'm not rushing to the window to bet under 7.5 if the number came out 7.5. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they've got some good defensive interior guys, some guys that have played a lot of football, but they do need some help. Like, if they could get another guy like a John Ridgeway type who they got out of Division II last year, that's where, I mean, you look at this team right up the middle and it looks really strong. You know, when you talk about the interior defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties and stuff, that looks really strong if they get another guy like that.
Awesome. Trey Biddy, Hog Sports, really appreciate the time, man. Learned a whole lot and really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I did too. Thanks, bud.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Hey guys, welcome back into the Cover 3 podcast. This is Bud Elliott, and this is College Football Summer School. And today we're talking a little Vanderbilt, and we're joined by Robbie Weinstein of Vandy 247. Robbie, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bud. Spring practice has wrapped up, and it's basically transfer season now.
It is indeed transfer season for transparency. We are recording this on the 26th. I think we're running about 10 days on release. So if you're hearing this, I think Robbie will be pretty future-proof, but of course, May 1st is the transfer deadline, so we'll see who else transfers out or transfers in. We'll be pretty busy there coming up. So Vanderbilt last year, a difficult year, but a transition year, not unlike many schools that had a transition year last year. 122nd overall in kind of the consensus blend of the major power ratings out there, and a difficult year. You know, when you watch them, I think team speed was probably one of the real things they're going to be looking to improve. But I kind of want to just get your overall sense of where Vanderbilt is in its rebuild process under Clark Lee. I mean, I think we always understood it'd be a long-term rebuild. Do you feel like they are on schedule?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's for sure it's going to be a long-term rebuild. And it's because, like you said, the team speed was non-existent last season. And, you know, I think they have made some good steps in terms of adding to that via recruiting, but it's only been really high school recruiting. They haven't had a lot of, they haven't taken a ton of transfers, and for the most part, those haven't been guys at the offensive skill positions. They did get one corner who's going to help, Jeremy Lucien from UConn, who's a good player, but I think in general, Vandy is going to generally be focused on high school recruiting, and that means that this is going to take some time. It's going to take time for those guys to develop. Particularly the offensive line has been a big issue for years now. And of course, that's a position that takes a lot of time for guys to get in the weight room, you know, shed bad weight, put on good weight, and get used to the speed of the game, especially in the SEC. So I wouldn't say Vanderbilt is off schedule. It's just that this is a pretty long-term rebuild. And, you know, what they're going to have to show this season is, even though nobody expects them to have a good record, they're going to need to be a little bit, just at least less non-competitive, because there were so many games last season against, you know, kind of so-so opponents or merely good opponents where they just got completely steamrolled, and they can't continue to do that this fall.
For sure. Obviously, I should know this, but we've already done the Stanford episode and a couple other schools that have, you know, high academics. Is Vanderbilt handicapped in the way that Stanford is when it comes to taking transfers, and that Stanford essentially, due to their academic, restrictions, they really can't take many?
No, that's the weird thing. It's actually pretty easy compared to Stanford, from what I understand. I think Clark Lee, just from a cultural perspective, he's very particular about what he wants in players. And I think that's something that he has had to get over a little bit. I think he only wanted to take, you know, something like three or four transfers per class initially when he came in, and he has realized, in my opinion, that that's not going to work. I think they've taken something like five or six so far, and it's probably going to go up from there in future seasons. And I think Barton Simmons, you know, formerly of this podcast, you know, he's the general manager at Vanderbilt. He's in charge of a lot of the evaluation and building the roster. I'm sure he wants to take transfers, and I think they've had to adjust what they're going to do there, because I think Clark Lee didn't necessarily want to rock the boat in terms of the culture in the locker room, but you know, they need productive upperclassmen. They don't have a lot of that because the recruiting under Derek Mason toward the end wasn't very good.
For sure. So let's start on the side of the ball that was maybe not, you know, quite as good last year. 124th in overall offense. Either them or Northwestern was probably the worst Power Five offense. You can kind of go back and forth debating if you really want to debate about that.
Sounds like Seal, fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Seals and Wright were both kind of awful throwing efficiency wise. At least Wright could run the ball pretty well. I remember seeing him in the whatever, it might have been the Colorado State game or whatever game that was, where he all of a sudden he broke out. What do you see happening at the quarterback position this year?
I think Wright probably has a slight advantage coming out of spring ball. And that game that you referenced, I think probably was against Missouri, and that is the best example. I think he had a 70-yard touchdown run or something like that in that game. You know, the offensive line I've already mentioned has been brutal for a few years. And then Tyler Steen, who honestly didn't even have a good season last year, but was still projected to be their best lineman, he transfers to Alabama, and Vanderbilt doesn't really have a left tackle right now. So I don't, you know, maybe the line in general could get better because they could get better at other spots, but I think it'll probably be marginal gains at best. They need transfers there. And the thought is that Ken Seals last season, after a really solid true freshman season, he kind of got the yips behind an offensive line that didn't give him a lot of time. He was playing through injuries, and as a result, he would flush out of the pocket earlier than he needed to, or sometimes in situations where you'd rather have him step up and deliver the ball. You know, he's getting happy feet and running out of there to nowhere, and it, you know, it screws the whole play over. So at least with Wright, I think, you know, even though Ken Seals, if you had a good offensive line, maybe he would be the better quarterback because he's better at throwing the ball downfield. Wright, though, behind a leaky offensive line, he can make plays with his feet, and maybe you go with him as the starter and hope that he can develop over time as a passer. That has been, you know, probably pretty gradual at best, but that's where I'm at. I mean, he took the first team reps for the most part during the spring, but it was kind of since they had a thin roster due to transfers. Seals got reps with the first team also, but at the beginning of each practice, Wright was the first guy to get the first snap. So my suspicion is that he kind of is a slight leader in that race right now.
Makes sense. Three of the top five pass catchers, at least by number of targets, are gone. And I just wrote here in my notes, will it matter?
Yeah, so Vanderbilt, you know, it doesn't matter how much. If they can't protect, then they're not going to be able to throw the ball downfield anyway. But what I would say is that they, at least their 2022 class was ranked number 35, I believe, by the 24/7 Sports Composite. And you saw that in the spring already. Jaden McGowan is kind of a guy who was a underlooked three-star recruit who probably would have gone to Harvard if he hadn't gotten the Vanderbilt offer, but he runs like a 4.35 40, and he looked like one of their best offensive players this spring. He will help fix the team speed issue. So Quincy Skinner Jr. is another guy who was out of St. Thomas Aquinas and had a lot of good offers. He's a true sophomore. So I, like you said, I mean, the team was so bad last season that when guys go out, even if, you know, they were starters, it's unclear how much that's actually going to affect things, because you're losing guys who were kind of so-so players thrust into starting roles at the SEC level.
Sure. Switching to the other side of the ball here, I feel like there's room for optimism, ultimately, given Clark Lee's background. Do you see this unit making a jump this year?
I think so, because, you know, one of the big storylines of the spring is that the coaching staff was a lot happier with how the defense played in terms of getting guys around the ball. There were a lot of plays last season, you know, honestly, even against UConn and Colorado State, it just kind of the dregs of FBS, where there was no resistance, you know, either at the point of attack, the edges were not being set well, and teams are just running up the field against a quote-unquote SEC defense that didn't look like one at all. That has improved. There were, you know, if you go back and look at tape of, you know, the scrimmages from this fall or the spring game, there are a lot more tacklers around the ball carrier, basically. I think they're just playing harder. And I also think some of the transfers probably will help on defense. Lucien from UConn, I mentioned, he's a solid player. He got a high three-star grade of 88 from our transfer portal evaluators. And then Kane Patterson, who was a reserve linebacker at Clemson but did play for 3 years. I mean, he's a decent player. And then they return most of their key pieces on that side of the ball, I would say. So I think they are going to take a step forward. And Clark Lee is also going to play a bigger role in the defense this season. I think they could be much more passable on defense, whereas offensively, I don't know if they're going to take a step forward. It could be relatively similar to last year.
For sure. Transfer portal-wise, where do you see Vanderbilt going with, I mean, obviously they have to find remaining spots, but if they do, you know, have those spots open, Where do you feel like they would most want to use them? And then realistically, where do you think they'll be able to find players who can help them?
Yeah, I think they're probably going to have another spot or two. And it's got to be focused on the offensive line, because I think ultimately you look at the guys who are coming back and they're either pretty untested or they have played and the results were not good. The hope on offense is that they actually have a play caller. They demoted their offensive coordinator like 1 week into fall camp last season, and that caused some issues. And now they're going to have the same play caller, Joey Lynch, for the whole season. But I just think the offensive line, in terms of not giving the quarterbacks any time to throw, that really screws up the rest of the offense. And I think they need at least one more offensive line addition. They did get Jacob Brammer, who's a former all-conference right tackle or left tackle at North Texas. But, that's a big step up in competition. And I think they probably need one more tackle and one more interior player as well.
No doubt about it. We will stay tuned to Vandy 247. Robbie Weinstein, really appreciate it, man. This is it's been informative, and I feel like obviously most people will be picking Vanderbilt for the basement of the East again this year in what is pretty clearly a long-term rebuild. But as you know, we do talk a lot of betting on the show, so yeah. I mean, we try to give a lot of attention to all teams because hell, even if it doesn't show up in the win column as much as Vanderbilt fans might hope, maybe they'll show up in their wallets if they cover a few more spreads this year. So
I know they're playing against teams that are relevant, so you might as well be aware, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Hey guys, Bud Elliott here, and welcome back into another edition of Summer School on the Cover 3 College Football Podcast. And today we're excited to be talking about Arkansas State with Jeff Reed of State Nation. Jeff, what's going on?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Can't complain, man. Just this is about the 12th one of these that I've done today, and excited to learn more about Arkansas State. It was obviously a year of change under Butch Jones, and it was a difficult year. I think the Vegas ratings had them about 119th in the country, and they were exciting at times, but kind of less often effective. I guess we could say.
Yeah, it was really a major transition year. Butch Jones took over, and Butch knew that the talent level and the roster had some issues. He got here and got into it and discovered there were even more issues. As a matter of fact, he told me the story that after they defeated UCA in the opener, he was up at 4 a.m. pondering the team, and his wife said, came to him and said, "Won't you come back to bed?" And he told Hooked and I said, "We won't win another game." The roster was so depleted. Now they did win another game, and they had a chance to win a couple more back down the stretch, but they got away. But it was a transition year, no doubt. There was already half the roster was already turned over. There'll be even more turned over going into next year, and this will probably be a big week for that because the portal deadline is coming up at the 1st of May. So there'll be, I know there've already been at least three guys this week. None of them major contributors who have entered it. And they're all guys that were with the previous coaching staff, Blake Anderson, that they his guys. And it's a different world in Jonesboro now. It's just, everything is just so much more focused and disciplined and on task, and where different type coaches, different type styles. Butch is more straight on online do it this way type of guy, where Anderson was probably more of a players type coach.
For sure. And I think you see a lot of programs kind of ebb and flow from a players to more disciplinarian, you know, to back
there's players. Usually a back and forth on that. Yeah, exactly.
No doubt. So last year, I thought the offense was certainly the better half of the team, 108th in the nation in overall efficiency, but they had some dudes who could really get open. They didn't always catch the ball from my watching them on TV.
Oh man!
But they could get open. They had Lane Hatcher chucking it around, as well as James Blackman, the kid who I've seen since he was a sophomore in high school down here in Florida. Corey Ruckers transferred off to South Carolina, one of the top receivers, but they got some other you know players back who have some ability. What are you seeing from the offense this year, Jeff?
Well, last year may have been the worst team I've ever seen for dropping passes. I mean, and it wasn't just one or two guys. It seemed like it was contagious, and everybody caught it. Even Rucker, who had several really nice offers, he had his issues with it. Trevalence Hunt, who's back, he had issues. I think what's happened at Arkansas State offensively is you're going to see probably less of a wide receiver oriented offense. Butch really loves the tight end, and they've recruited very well at the tight end position and have three really good guys there, plus a holdover senior. But I think he likes that because I think it's a good place to create a mismatch with usually a linebacker having to cover, you know, long, lean, fast, athletic tight ends. Still trying to work on running the ball. The offensive line is as Butch likes to say, a work in progress. They have made progress. I think they're better than they were last year.
Okay.
But I think one thing that will help this team is Blackman showed in the spring game some mobility. He actually even ran the ball a couple of times, which he really didn't. Lane Hatcher was pretty much, once the pocket collapsed, he was done. He was barely 6 feet and not the fastest guy, so there was no way to evade things, and it pretty much went down. And they had a real good freshman that looks really good, a kid named Jackson Daly out of Iowa, big 6'3 lefty that is – you hear this all the time. He's advanced beyond his years. I mean, he really looks smooth and calm, and I don't know how much they plan on using him. They're getting a P5 transfer from Miami, Ohio, that I think is going to kind of bridge the gap because you had James as a senior, then you had a bunch of freshmen behind him. So you kind of got a guy, but I think it's going to be Blackman's job. The transfer will probably be the backup unless Daly just really emerges. I think they want to redshirt him, you know, and then next year going on, then the other two, they can battle for the position. I think it's going to probably be, you know, unforced errors killed them, you know, and it drives Jones crazy, like drop passes. And they didn't really have a big issue fumbling the ball, but they threw interceptions, and it was really a rough year and a transition year. Now, defensively, early on, it was atrocious, but a lot of that had to do with the schedule. I mean, they had to go to Washington. They had a good Memphis team. They had Coastal Carolina, which was really good. They had App State, and they played some really good teams early on. If you go back and look, the second half of the season, defensively, they only gave up around 26, 27, 28 points a game. And you go, wow, that's still a lot. But in this day and time, it's not really, you know, because the game is so offensive oriented now. And all the rules are done to help the offense that, you know, if you could hold somebody under 30, you've got a shot to win. And that's, like I said, they had a chance to win three games late in the year that they lost, that, you know, if they're 5-7, things aren't quite looking as bad as they were, but they didn't get those. And so far they're 2-10 going into 22.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, to your point, they finished 124th in defense rating, and starting out the year, I mean, they were just off the charts bad. I was like, you can't be worse than UMass and schools like that. And exactly.
Which is on the schedule this next year.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful for sure. I do have some questions about some of these dudes who have transferred out along the defensive line. I saw Scott transferred and Hampton transferred. And so with that, I mean, that's, That's four of their top five returning guys that either graduated, I believe, or have transferred out, unless I'm wrong on that, right?
You're right. And that's that was another thing that, looking back at what happened to last season, you had five guys that four of them were probably four of your top seven or eight players on the team transferred out, and Butch was left with that. Terry Hampton is a defensive lineman they were counting on. Vidal Scott just kind of, he just decided he wanted to move, and he's going to Eastern Michigan. Hampton has gotten some really nice offers I've seen just looking on Twitter today. So he'll be a P5 guy for sure. That'd be an area that they'll focus on.
In the portal, you mean?
Yeah. They're going to wait and see what really, I imagine the last day of May will probably be like, blue light special at Kmart. It'll be going crazy, there'll be guys popping in there. Some of you think, why, and Butch wants to build the program through high school players. But, at the same time, if you can get a portal guy that's in his first or second year, it's not a bad thing, because now they don't have that immediate transfer that they can fall back on, because they've already burned it. So that's, we'll see what happened. They got the young man out of Vanderbilt that's coming in to play, that defensive lineman Sujic, he's from a Jersey kid. They really think highly of him. He'll get playing time. They've moved a Hassler kid, a defensive end, inside. But I really think they'd like to add some experience depth in there. The defensive end's position looks really good right now. Linebacker's looking better. Safety's looking better. So they've got some pieces that have been better, but they're really going to have to shore up that interior defensive front.
For sure. Are you expecting this defense to be better overall this year? Do you think they'll just play kind of at the level they played at the end of last year?
Well, one thing about their improvement, their schedule kind of got more toward their talent level, which helped. The schedule this year is not nearly as bad. Yeah, now you start with Grambling, then you go to Ohio State, which, that's kind of give me the money, let me go back home type
thing. Yeah, it's about a paycheck game. Sure.
Go to Memphis, and you don't really know. Memphis, there's two schools that's 70 miles apart. There's some rivalry there. And as bad as Arkansas State was last year, the last play of that game, they're throwing a Hail Mary into the end zone to win it. So they had a shot. So the schedule is a lot more favorable from the they get Old Dominion and James Madison from the east, with the new enlarged Sun Belt. They have to play Southern Miss because they're a divisional foe now. So Butch is not as discouraged about the schedule as it was last year. It's just last year, I think they played in Washington and had to come back home, which is a long trip, and then turn around and play a conference opener on a Thursday. And it was just was not, he was furious about the schedule. He really was. Got a little bit better one this year, and I think that will help. But I think the people that they've added, now they really got to stay healthy on the inside, on the interior. And of course, a lot of that depends on what they're able to add, but I think there's no question the defense will be better.
Awesome. Jeff, really appreciate the time today. Everybody needs to follow State Nation for all your Arkansas State sources out there. We'll have to have you back on for a little fall preview action.
Hey, anytime. Let me know.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right, that was great. We'll shoot this to you when it goes live, probably about 10 days from now, and it'll be good.
Hey, appreciate it. Anytime. Thank you.
No doubt. Take care. All right, that's the bell. Cover 3 College Football Summer School is over for today. But don't worry, we'll be back soon with even more episodes filling you in on the top teams in college football. Please give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on YouTube and on Twitter at Cover 3 Podcast. And we'll see y'all soon.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.